bling bling.
Taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Hey, remember the Freedom Train is brought to you by PACS Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PACS Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the choice of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the codes of conduct, how you yourself can become a member and or donate, how you can get involved in the different things that PACS Inc. have going on, how you can utilize that learning center, especially that store, that last tab, that store, you know you can support the organization, you know what I'm talking about. But that learning center, though, hover your mouse over that learning center, bam, drop down box, bam, some more stuff, resources, ooh, you can take advantage of. So make sure y'all take advantage of those resources. And once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. So while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website. And I know you can do it because you can open up more than one tab, more than one browser at one time. So go ahead and open up a browser and type in www.freedomtrainradio.com so you can learn more about myself, Patrick, Enigma, September, Shelby Davis, and Queen Candace, right? Because we out here, baby. We out here doing our thing. And what, we got a podcast drop every Monday. We got two drop Wednesday, have one drop Friday, and one drop Saturday. So basically the whole week we're busting in your head with podcasts. So once again, www.freedomtrainradio.com. It Black History Month, Pat.
We got two drops Saturday.
What's the other one?
On the shoulders of the Giants, bitch.
I just want you to say it. Thank you for falling into my trap. I just want you to say it. I knew you was going to bite.
That's so funny. You ain't know that. You forgot.
Hey, man, but it's Black History Month. It's February, man. So we're going to – our discussion today is going to center around Black History Month and some people's ideas and thoughts about Black History Month based off of what they have been taught or what they haven't been taught. But before I get into that, as you know from my interview last week, for those who listened to it, if you haven't, go back and listen to our interview, www.freedomtrainradio.com, where I interviewed Nicole Everett and Ms. Priscilla Hawkins, who are the co-chairs of this year's Black History Month Festival here in Tallahassee. And one of the events in that Black History Month Festival is the Tallahassee African Fashion Week. And it's put on by Candace May and her mother Gail May, and they have a African clothing line called Kumba Creations. And this will be their fourth annual African Fashion Week. And they letting your boy host it, too. I'm the host, Pat. Ooh, I'm the host, Pat. It's going down. So I want to make sure everybody understand and know what's going on. So Saturday what they have is a children's fashion show. So make sure you come out. That starts at 6 p.m. Sunday is the main fashion show, which starts at 6 p.m. There's a welcome reception on Friday, and the other event on, reception is on Saturday. No, I keep saying Saturday. It's on Thursday. I'm tripping, Pat. The welcome reception is on Thursday, excuse me. What's the other event? I'm tripping. I'm going to edit this part, though, Pat, so don't hold on. My computer, my shit running slow. I'm going to edit this. Oh, we need to edit. I can't edit it right now. Hold on. This shit running slow. God, this internet, man. My bad, Pat. I'm glad we edit. Man, laugh or something. Don't just be quiet.
I mean, you working through some issues, so I'm being supportive for you.
Nah, man, because I'm trying to bring up. I went to the page to bring up the dang on flyer that gave me all the events, because the Saturday event, I can't remember the name of it, but I know the other events. And God damn it, I'm gonna just do it over. Here you go. Here we go. This is what I'm looking for. I'm gonna just do this whole part up. All right. So before we get into our Black History information, this week in Tallahassee is the African Fashion Week, and it's put on by Kumba Creations. And Kumba Creations is comprised of Candace May and her mother Gail May, and they do a wonderful job in handmade African clothing. So that Tallahassee African Fashion Week 2020 is really going down in the South. Thursday, there's an open reception at 6 p.m. Friday, there's a fashion talk discussion at 7 p.m. Saturday, starting at 8 p.m., is the children's fashion show. And Sunday at 6 p.m. is the Ankara fashion show, which is the main fashion show. And your boy gets to host the children's show and the main show. So your boy happy about that. It will be my second year in a row hosting the show, and I'm happy. So I guess I did a good job last year. They want to bring your boy back, and I'm excited and more than welcome to do it. But I want everybody to support this event, because it's a great event. Here in Tallahassee, especially in the Tallahassee and surrounding areas, come out to the African Fashion Week. It's really going down. You can go to the Facebook page to get a lot more information as well about Tallahassee African Fashion Week. But I did want to make sure that I tell everybody about it. This weekend, starting February 6th, is once again the open reception. February 7th is the fashion talk. February 8th is the children's fashion show. February 9th is the Ankara fashion show. Like I said, you can learn more. The Instagram handle is at Tallahassee African Fashion Week. And on Facebook, you can do at Tallahassee African Fashion Week to follow. Also on Eventbrite, we can get your tickets to attend the event. And come on now, it's going to be a good time. It's going down, Tallahassee African Fashion Week, because people show up and show out for that. So y'all make sure y'all get in and get out. You know what I'm talking about, Pat?
Word.
I'm really going down inside.
In the middle.
So, I was having a conversation earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And within that conversation, the person was telling me about a discussion topic surrounding Black history that they were invited to this upcoming Thursday, right? And the discussion was, should Black History Month be done away with? Should we just not do Black History Month at all anymore? And some of the reasoning behind it, it was a video of a young lady in the video stating her reason why Black History Month should be done away with. And from the way it was explained to me, so I haven't seen the video, not yet. I don't even know how to find the video, but the discussion point I thought was something that we can go into. So, she was saying, from my understanding of what was told to me, she was saying that because we continuously either don't learn Black history or learn only about, like, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, we don't learn about those four every year, or we don't learn anything at all, that Black History Month should be done away with. And my initial thought when I hear that is, for me, that's all the more reason why Black History Month should be here. But also, me doing my research on Dr. Carter G. Woodson and understanding his reason for creating Black History Month, because we weren't learning Black history at all. But also, some of the components in that argument, like I said, as it was articulated to me, was the young lady, I guess she started off elementary, middle school, all-white institutions. So, you know, you place a Black child at all-white institutions during Black History Month, they're really not going to learn anything. But I also articulated that every institution that I've been to, especially when I was young, I've always went to all-Black schools. And we only learned about the same four or five figures throughout my childhood going to school. I learned a lot more when I got to college. But that was a lot. That was I do want to add that into for context, that the environments that she was in were not conducive to teaching Black history as well. But her take from that is we should do away with Black history because, hell, we ain't really learning it at all. So, Pat, when you hear that, what's your initial thought? Should we have Black history or shouldn't we have Black history?
This is actually one of the few, because we were talking earlier and I told you I didn't. Black History Month always kind of rubs me the wrong way for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually one of the few components of Black History Month that I do engage in with children, is do we still need it? Because it's always interesting to hear their perspectives. And even the adults, on occasion, this is one of the only conversations that year after year I continuously engage in. My thought process, understanding, like you said, Carter G. Woodson, Dr. Carter G. Woodson's reasoning for creating it, that need is still there.
Right. Right.
So if it was created, conceptualized, created, and implemented for a reason, and that reason still exists, or that causal factor is still there, then this thing is still needed. Now, we can
right.
argue about, are we doing it right? I think that's a relevant and powerful argument. And I think that's really where the question centers for me is, are we doing it right? Because a lot of people say, well, we're only learning about the same few people, so it ain't no point in even doing it. Well, that's kind of a warped perspective, in my opinion. So you'd rather just not learn about your history at all versus learn
yeah.
about the same few people over and over and over again? That seems kind of off to me.
Well, it is off, but I feel her, but me being more knowledgeable about Black history, because I've literally learned of at least 300 different Black people who've contributed to Black societies all over the world since my journey in doing On the Shoulders of Giants since like 2014. Literally learned like over 300 people. But like you were saying, the need is still there. The need is still there, but I do feel her sentiment, because before I start learning all this Black history, though, I felt the same way. Like, damn, man, all right, we gonna learn. We know what we gonna learn. So I would daydream doing Black History Month because I know that stuff. But also, one thing is, on my own, I would read different things, learn different things, because I just liked history, in itself. So I didn't dread Black History Month, but I was like, damn, we ain't gonna do nothing but learn about the same people over and over.
Yeah, I get the argument. I get it. And
right.
I've made the same argument in the past.
Right.
You know, so I share that, and I understand where it's coming from. Just, you know, where I am now, if I was talking to a kid and they presented that argument, you know, there are a bunch of different things wrong with that argument. It sounds
right.
like a solid point until you really start to dissect it. And then
it's a self-defeating point.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Because I get where she's coming from. I get where she's coming from. But also, like I stated earlier, that's the need for Black History Month. Dr. Carter G. Woodson looked around and realized we're not learning Black history. So he created institutions, wrote different things. He created a whole lot of things. And a lot of that, all of that culminated to Black History Week, which eventually became Black History Month. Now, it is... especially like for somebody like me who went to all Black institutions, I have to take a step back and realize that it's not Black history's fault that we only learned about four people. It's the teachers. It's the adults that was around us. It's their fault
yeah.
that we only learned about four or five
yeah.
people.
It's
but once again, it ain't Black history's fault. But those teachers themselves were ignorant of Black history themselves. So which more so increases the need for us to learn about Black history, in my opinion. It's well needed.
That's why I go back to the implementation argument, because I feel like it wasn't. If at one point, because I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what it was when he first created it, because I didn't go through there and I wasn't there for those, right. You know, and I don't know how he did it, you know, because I'm sure the way he did it was very different than the way other people are doing it now. Even just the few years or the as it expanded and grew outside of just what he was doing, I'm sure it changed and adjusted. But I do feel like one of the core tenets of Black History Month, or the foundation of it, wasn't just to make Black people aware of their history, but it was also to allow them to view history itself from a right. Black historical right. lens.
Right.
And
right.
that piece has not been successfully implemented in... at least since I was a kid, and I'll go back to say even with my parents, at least since they were children, and my parents were born in the 60s. So the early 60s, my dad was born in 1960, my mom was born in 1964. So even when they were children, they were talking about not really getting adequate Black history. And you're talking about people that were coming of age in the 70s. So it's that piece, and that's the piece I feel like we continue to struggle with, because you could learn about the same three or four people, but if every time you're learning about them, you're learning about a new context or a new historical lens or a
right.
new way of thinking about something that happened in history surrounding that time period, then there isn't anything wrong with that, because you can take those history lessons and apply them to things that are happening now.
Right.
My biggest
right.
beef with Black history as it is now is that the historical context is missing. That Black cultural lens is missing.
It's missing. It is, especially in the schools.
Right.
And
so
now,
go ahead.
What's unique is us getting that through learning from Dr. John Henry Clark. And I just want to say, for those who want to learn more about Black history, as I say these names, write these names down and research these people, most of these people, these names we're going to say, you could go to YouTube and listen to them, and you can see what we're talking about.
No. Go to these two websites in particular. One is on the shoulders of giants. That's Joseph's website. And it is one of the best websites for this type of information out there. There are others out there like Black Past, Salute to Them, and things of that nature. But Joe puts a lot of work and a lot of effort into his website. And so before you go to YouTube and look at anything that you're going to get on YouTube, because, you know, we don't know what article you're going to pull up or what video you're going to pull up when you get to YouTube. But we know that the stuff on the shoulders of giants.com has been curated and it's accurate. So,
well, yeah, I appreciate that. Now, yes, go to my website, www.ontheshouldersone.com. Go to paxinc.org. A lot of Black history on that. But
and
now
the other one I was going to say, PaxInc.org, because they got a lot of raw source information there. It's not a whole lot of opinion. It's just what it is.
But the reason I said that, though, is because, like, we were talking about, like, a specific African lens to be able to view the world. And so as I'm saying that, I start thinking about Dr. John Henry Clark lectures. And I start thinking about Dr. Ben's lectures. That's what I said. That's why I said that. But you can go to PAX Inc. for that specific aspect of it. Yeah, go to PAX Inc. But the thing about it is, like, Dr. John Henry Clark or Yusef Ben Yochanan or Amos Wilson or Neely Fuller or Dr. Francis Cress Welsing or Anthony T. Browder or Robin Walker, or Walter Rodney, or Walter Williams, or Chancellor Williams. You study him. Who else I could think of? Dr. James Smalls, Dr. Claude Anderson. That's a good list for right now, right? But listening to those people and really understanding the information that they're given, right? What it's going to do is enhance that African worldview, that African lens, so we can, like Pat saying, us being able to see the world through a historical African lens from the beginning to the end. That's the power of Black history, because when you begin to really understand the contributions that Black people have made in this world, it helps to empower you. And that's the whole point of Black History Month. Originally, is to empower Black people. That's what Dr. Carter G. Woodson wanted, is to empower Black people. That African lens is so important. It's like being able to really understand, like, damn, dog, like, white people really done a job on us.
Right.
Like really, really seeing that, like, why the world is what it is today because of Black history not being taught throughout the world, and why Black people are in situations or in conditions that they are. Those questions get answered.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that I go back again. That's, in my opinion, that's why I agree with you when you say it's a self-defeating question. It's a self-defeating analysis of the situation, because the situation is such that people feel like Black history isn't needed because Black history isn't being taught.
Right.
There's no way you could learn your history, turn around and toot your mouth up and say, oh yeah, we need to stop learning this.
But that's why I created On the Shoulders of Giants. That's exactly why I created On the Shoulders of Giants, because I saw there was a need to learn more Black history. And so, but taking away Black history won't help. It won't help us learn more history.
No, it doesn't solve the problem at all.
Right, because it's like you can't just, every time something don't go your way, you can't just cut it off. You got to figure out how to, like, and something like this, Black history. And honestly, if you really think about it, it's a lot of arrogance and laziness in that, in statements like that too.
Because
damn it, if you know all Beyonce information and don't know Black history, that's your damn fault. If you know more about what's going on TV and this reality TV and all these other things, if you know more about what's, hell, I'm sports and I love sports, but hell, if you know more about what's going on in the NFL, if you know more NFL history and NBA history and the Black history, that's your damn fault. Like, as an adult, especially if you're an adult and you got a smartphone in your hand, you got access to Google and you want to learn it, do like I do. I Google it.
That
part has to be pointed out in that too. It's a bit of arrogance and laziness in that, because it's not like anything is stopping you at this point in time in history. Nothing is stopping you from learning Black history, but you.
Nah, and it's more than a bit. That's a lot, but that's where I go back to, but again, that's just the mentality we have is it's not working. Well, instead of figuring out why it's not working and fixing that, it's easier to just demolish the whole thing. We just don't want to deal with it at all. And then, not to mention, there is also usually that undercurrent of, and besides, Black history makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Right.
Because here's the thing, like, when I'm talking to kids about Black history and they finally open up, teenagers, they finally open up about how they really feel about being Black and about Black history, especially the ones that don't grow up in pro-Black households, they are legit uncomfortable with certain subjects, and Black history is one of them. Like, they're made uncomfortable by their own history. You know, and they're made uncomfortable because they understand that their history makes white people uncomfortable. And they don't want to make white people, they don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but they've especially been socialized not to want to make white people uncomfortable.
But once again, that's the reason for being able to view the world through an African lens, because you understand that that's a tactic of white supremacy just to maintain power and control. If I make you uncomfortable about being proud about who you are, I'm going to maintain power and control, and you're going to maintain an inferior complex. When you, Frederick Douglass even said it, man, when I'm educated and I know my stuff and I know myself, I cannot be a slave. But say, going back to what you said earlier, even if you're learning about the same four or five people over and over, there are different things. If you got the right teachers, there are different things you can learn. And if you got the right mindset, there are different things you can learn. So I talked about, I think in our last show, I talked about, either the last show or the show before that, I talked about, I broke down one of Dr. King's speeches for Swag Her Magazine. I did a video about it, right? And remember, we was having a conversation off the line about it, and I was telling you that I learned more about Dr. King's reasoning behind his nonviolent stance. Because before me learning that, my mindset was like, man, they was tripping, man. They should have been busting heads, like, or being willing to. But Dr. King was about tactics and strategy, so he was a better tactician than I thought. Because one of his reasons was, and I said it in the video, if black America decides to want to overthrow white America, we're going to get our ass whooped. Like, whooped. If black people decide we finna go out and just bust in white people's heads and we finna take this thing over, no more racism, we're going to get our ass whooped. Why? Because we're not united. We don't have no resources. We're not trained. America has an army. We don't. We don't have any allies. America has allies with other armies, and America has an internal ally in white racists. And who do we have? If we really tried to just buck up, we would get our asses whooped because we ain't got nothing that we ain't prepared for.
And see, that is, because that's something I talk about in the book that I'm going to be dropping next year, Black Tactics for the Revolution. We go, you know, like, people have to understand, not only that, all of the things you just said, but I really want to harp on the point about allies. When you are an inferior force, and I know a lot of black people don't like the word inferior associated with us, but let's be blunt here. The United States is a more powerful force than black America is.
Right.
Let's just be real about that. When you are an inferior force, the only hope you have of being able to fend off a larger, more powerful force is to have an ally that is of comparable size to the larger, more powerful force that you're going up against. That is the only way to do that. And the only way for black people in that space to gain those allies is to, and we've heard them talk about the moral currency argument. We had to have the moral cachet, the moral currency, because that was literally the only thing we had to offer to the rest of the world. Look at how bad they're treating us. Look at what they're doing to us. Look at how they're dehumanizing us. Look at how they're beating us. And if all of you guys, all of you other countries, say that you are about the justice and the humanity and the blah, blah, blah of all people, then you cannot sit back and allow these people to do this stuff to us.
Right.
So it was about the visual component of it. It was about the propaganda angle, the messaging to the rest of the world and to the so-called white people here in America, or not the so-called white people, but the so-called liberal white people here in America that were also standing around doing this shit. Now, you can agree or disagree.
Abolitionists.
You can agree or disagree with the nonviolent stance all you want. You have to acknowledge the necessity and the intelligence that goes into devising that tactic at that time, and then the bravery that it requires to follow through with it, which is one of the reasons why I never really shitted on Martin Luther King about the nonviolent stance. Now, I had other things, and I never shitted on the man, but I had other things that I disagreed with him about, but the nonviolence thing made perfect sense to me, especially when you have people like the Deacons for the Defense, you know, the NOI, Malcolm X. You had all these other groups who were also out there on the other side of the coin saying, yeah, they're nonviolent, but we're not. So it creates this situation. Who do you want to deal with? So the tactics, like, people, it's sad. Dr. King didn't get a lot of love when he was alive.
Right.
He started to gain more love, but of late he's been losing a lot of love as black people are starting to look at the nonviolent movement as, like, you know, his fuck-up.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not really warranted.
And once again, being able to really study the history and everything, his stance is being explained in a bad way. It's not being explained the proper way. And that's one of the big problems.
True.
To me, because the way people talk about Dr. King and his nonviolent stance, and the way they juxtapose it to Malcolm X's stance, they make it seem like it was an inferior concept.
Right.
And because they make it seem like it was an inferior concept, it's one of the reasons why when we talk about Dr. King, we look at him like, basically, they make him seem like a punk, basically. They make him seem like a punk. And that's one of the issues.
Right, because we can have all these conversations. And that's the funny thing, right? People be like, we learn about the same four people every year. But then it's like, yeah, but you still don't know shit about those four people.
Right. So, yeah, man. It's needed. It's needed.
Hell yeah.
Hold on, Pat. We're gonna edit this part out. Hey, Candace, you can hear me? She came on the line.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
No, I'm here.
We had. Okay. When I was looking at the time, I figured, I told Pat you probably forgot. I told him I know you got a lot going on or whatever. So.
I apologize so much. I was like, oh my goodness.
Nah, it's all good. But because we just have to record the show to stay on schedule for tomorrow. So that's why we started this Black History show. But what I, how I want to do this, I have been, in the beginning of it, I talked about the African Fashion Week, and in the end, I'm going to talk about the Fashion Week again. So, you straight, you good. Like, get her to do, like, a little drop or something.
No,
what you think
don't,
of that?
Cause don't cut the interview short. Just, we can, like, so obviously, if you want, you can hang out with us and talk about what we talking about. But I was going to suggest, why not just reschedule the interview, that way still have a full interview with her.
Well,
and we can drop it later.
Well, because I wanted to drop it tomorrow, because the fashion show is this weekend.
So you want to do the interview with her now?
I mean, it's up to you. I'm good, because we can start it over.
Well, so here's the deal. If I'm going to be part of the interview, and I would like to be, it might be better for me to reschedule, because I was going to have to hop off around about 20, 30 minutes anyway from now. And I don't want to cut her interview short, because that wouldn't be fair to her or the listeners.
Okay.
That's
reschedule
it. But if you just want to roll it and get it in tonight, then we can button up what we talking about, and then I'll
get into the show.
You can do the interview, and then
okay. So is All right. So is that cool with you, Candace? Like, right? Because right now we're just talking about the importance of Black history. Because it was a, I was in the conversation earlier, and the person was telling me about another conversation he was in about a presentation that's supposed to happen on Thursday on FAMU campus with students about should Black history be done away with. And so that's what we was talking about. So you wanna just hop in on telling the conversation, then we roll into the interview?
I mean, that's fine, because I'm late, and I apologize. So whatever y'all need me to do, I'm doing it.
Okay. Nah, you good. Because like I say, I know you got a lot going on. I know you do, so I know you kind of, it probably slipped your mind, so ain't no big deal. So, all right, we're going to edit all this out and stuff. So we'll can go back into the conversation, kind of curve the conversation back into the fashion week, and then go into the interview.
So we're going to close out the conversation we're having, and then you're going to transition? I'm just trying to figure out how I can drop out the most unintrusive manner possible.
Well, put it like this. Let's close out this conversation, and then once we close the conversation out, bam, we edit. We can edit, and you can throw the music on the end, and then that can, what we're talking about now could be next week's show, and then this is this week's show.
I got you.
All right, cool. So, let's roll. Let's roll back into.
Gotta get back into character.
I know.
Right. So y'all talking about how Black history can be done. Should Black history might be done away with?
Yeah, because that was the court. That was one. It was a young girl on the video saying she thinks Black History Month should be done away with, and some of her reasons is basically she was saying we don't really learn Black history. We always learn about the same four people over and over and over every year, and we don't really learn too much about Black history, so it seems useless, so it should be done away with. So we're giving our reasons why it shouldn't be done away with.
Okay.
And scene.
So, all right, so, but yeah, man,
so yeah, like we said earlier. To me, right? So how you say you learn about the same four Black people, but you still don't know shit about them? But that, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. To me, it's always never really been about who you learn about. Not saying that's not important, but it's always been more about just acquiring that cultural lens to be able to look at history from a Black perspective. To me, it's just as damaging, to learn about 50 new Black people every year, but you're learning about them from a white cultural view. You're learning about them from a white historical lens. That's still not really empowering you, because all of their achievements are going to be framed in this framework of this is why they're great to another group of people. And we get into that when we start talking about people like Jackie Robinson or people like a lot of the quote-unquote first Black people to do something.
Or the way they see Dr. King now. They try to act like Dr. King is America's champion, but Dr. King was Black America's champion. So.
Right. So even in that, being able to have the quality and depth of conversation to be able to push back on the narrative that Dr. King was a simp or Dr. King was a sucker because of this. You know, that whole thing really is another part of that double consciousness of the white progressive part of Black people is struggling to reconcile one aspect of Dr. King, and the Black progressive side of Black people is struggling to reconcile another. That whole thing can be done away with if we just start teaching from that Black historical cultural lens. So for me, that's still the bigger issue. But doing away with Black History Month, that doesn't solve anything.
Right. So before we go further, we got a guest on the line that's going to rock with us for the rest of the show. So if you remember last week's interview, we had Ms. Candace May, who is the founder of the African Fashion Week here in Tallahassee. So she's joining us back in this week for this discussion about the relevance of Black history. So Candace, I want to throw it to you real quick. So like we were saying, the question is, should Black History Month be done away with? And some of the reasoning is because we're not really learning Black history. We're only learning about the same four or five people over and over, and we're not really benefiting from Black history. So in your opinion, do you think Black History Month should be done away with, or do you think it should be – it's something that we should continue?
Can I cuss?
Yes.
Hell no! Why would you say that? Like, Black history is about what you choose to learn. Like, you don't need nobody to teach you about your history. You can go to the library. You can Google it. You can YouTube it. You know, there's a lot of information out there for you to access, and you don't have to just do it in February. But, you know, it's in February. I don't know why it's in February. I don't know the history behind that. But, you know, some people want to just dive a little bit deeper, you know, in February.
Right.
But no, yeah. Absolutely not. But I think, you know, for children, you know, it gives children, you know, that sense of, you know, this is what this month's about. Just like, you know, Juneteenth, that's what that, you know, month's about. Christmas, that's what that month's about. You know, it's kind of more, that's Black history, and like those type of labels are more for like children, you know, to engage. But when it comes to an adult, you know, like, absolutely not. I don't think we should be having a conversation about is Black History Month should be done away with. That's kind of say Black history should be done away with. Like, so I think that gives you more of a push to learn it, you know, and you don't need, like, whoever said we learn about the same four people, like, you're talking about elementary, middle school. You know, those children learn about the same, like, same four people. Who else you want them to teach about? They can only go so far in the public school system, you know, so they have to stay in the gray area because it's the public school system, but it's up to the community and the adults, you know, in the community to teach these children the real, you know, history, the nitty-gritty, the dirty history about Black history and how the white people stole our information and took credit for everything. Like, it's not up to the school system.
Right.
And I don't know. I need to talk to that person.
Yeah, right. But you share the same sentiments as Pat and I. As that's the same thing we believe is needed. Like, that's, to me, she articulated why Black history is needed. And then, like, for, like, context, like, Dr. Carter G. Woodson started Black History Week, along with, and like we said earlier, along with a lot of other publications and things that he put out, because he looked around and he saw that Black people wasn't learning Black history. So it's like, I feel like we haven't moved too far from when Dr. Carter G. Woodson first introduced the idea of Black History Week, which became Black History Month. We haven't really moved from that. If we sit here talking about we aren't learning, and then we don't like Black history, but like you said, you got Google. You have, like, there's, I said, just said this earlier. If you are an adult, you 18, hell, you 16 and older, you can read, and you know how to use these smartphones, and you want to learn about Black history. There's no way you should know more of this frivolous history or sports history or anime history. How you know more about Dragon Ball Z than you know about Black history?
Right.
But you will go research Dragon Ball Z, though.
See, that goes back to, again, the implementation was never put in correctly. And so you have people out there like that. And even to that, because the sister just said something even more powerful than I think a lot of people is going to realize. And that's why I'm bringing particular point to it, because if the young lady who was answering this question during this video had done this, she would have never have done the video. And it was a real small thing. It happened real quick. But she just admitted that there was something that she didn't know.
Right.
Real quick, but it was real powerful. Because people don't do that often. She's like, look, we have Black history. I don't know why we do it, when we do it. But
But you understand the relevance of it.
Right. But what I'm getting at is just in that, the self-awareness to be able to say, here is something that I know I don't know. So instead of me trying to bullshit my way around it and talk my way through it, I'm going to just admit that I don't know it and potentially give other people the opportunity, or maybe even go find the answer myself, but potentially give people in the discussion the opportunity to share that information with me. If the young lady, because 9 times out of 10, most of the people that are saying shit like this, there's a bunch of shit about Black history that they just don't know. And instead of owning up to the fact that they don't know that, they just say, we just need to do away with it. Basically, I don't know the shit. I'm not going to know the shit. I don't want to know the shit.
And
so
no
just
man.
Get rid of the shit so that I don't have to worry about knowing the shit. That's what
it's,
I hear.
It's,
when I hear
they basically throwing a temper tantrum. Basically, I'm not getting this, even though I can get it myself. So I'm mad. I'm just throwing a temper tantrum. Like, come on, you got to do better than that.
Right.
Got to do different.
I'm hungry.
These must be young people.
I haven't seen the video. So I was told about the video. I didn't see it. So I want to find it. So I'm going to go ask and try to get more information and find it. But
I've heard adults say this, like adults in their 30s making these same arguments. You know,
that's true. I ain't going to lie, though. I first thought about a younger 20 person. I ain't going to lie. But I do want to say there are a lot of young people who know their stuff, though.
Yeah, I had a situation where I was talking to someone around my age, and they were telling me how he felt like children shouldn't be taught about their history, Black history, because it makes them angry. And he didn't want his children to learn about the Black history because it makes them angry. And I was angry at him for saying that, like, bro, how could you say that? But, I mean, he has a point. You know, he has a point, but I think it's how it's presented. How the information is presented. Like, when we think about Black history, we always want to think about the white relations, and, you know, that's not Black history. That's not where Black history started, and it didn't end there either. You know, there's so much other information we talk about than the white and Black racial relations.
Right.
You know, and I think that's where people stay on that part. You know, because, like, for somebody to say we should do away with Black History Month, like, do you not realize what type of information is out there? Do you not realize that Black people created mathematics? And, you know, we created pretty much everything that you can look at that's functional, but didn't get the credit for it. But you wouldn't know that if you dive deep into your history, or if you want to know, you know, about your history.
Well,
you
know, I
Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, they just scratched the surface.
Right.
I have a bunch of different, because I've heard people say that as well, and I got 2 points for that. One, your kids need to learn how to deal with anger while they're young, and they can't do any significant damage because they're mad, versus them being an adult and being able to do some real damage to themselves or somebody else because they're mad. They're going to learn about it anyway. And two, I'm trying to figure out how to word this without sounding like I'm attacking individuals, because that's not my
reason. Well, good luck with that.
Because it really is, at its core, a silly argument to make. So you're going to withhold information about your child's history from them, because you don't want them to be upset. I mean, I got news for you. They're going, like, shit happens. People get mad. You're not going to prevent them from being upset. What you're doing is you're creating a ticking time bomb for when they get their Negro wake-up call and they start lashing out. And you better hope they don't look at you sideways and be why you ain't teach me that I was Black? I just got fired from my job for being Black. I just lost a contract, a multi-million-dollar contract, for being Black. I just got arrested for being Black. The scenarios are endless. And you didn't teach me that I was Black because you didn't want to upset an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, right. a 6-year-old? Right. What kind of bitch shit is that?
It's some real soft shit. But, like, one, another thing that Candace stated, though, is there's so much more to learn. Like, there's a black Arabic writer and scholar named Al Jahiz. And they talk about, you know how they talk about Charles Darwin being the father of the theory of evolution? All right, that shit ain't real. That shit ain't true. Charles Darwin wrote his stuff, and he did whatever he did. But he was late as hell. So Al Jahiz existed, what, in the 7th century, I think like 758 A.D.?
Mm-hmm.
So in the 7th century A.D., this man wrote a book called The Book of Animals that detailed over 350 animals. So with 7th century A.D. So that's just an example, one example of a lot of the richness of black history and the things that we can learn that can dispel a lot of the inferiority complexes that we have because we think that we haven't done anything in the world.
Right. Like, all we're learning about is slavery or something negative. You know, like, there's a lot of information out there, and I think that's why people, you know, why they're maybe saying, you know, to potentially get rid of black history because they don't see the beauty in it. You know, they just they're just right. looking at the white and black relations, the negative part, the, you know, that's all they know. But black history started way before then. Like, that ahead. Was just a boost. That was just a, you know, something that happened a little aftermath.
Interrupt.
But that was not
history.
That's not our so. History, and we ain't stopped there either. Like, we haven't stopped there. So I need to talk.
But that goes back to the context argument. What cultural lens are we talking about history from? A lot of black people are learning about black history the way a white person would look at black history. So they look at slavery, and they don't even see their ancestors in that. They logically, or they maybe emotionally feel some sort of anger for people that look like them. But, you know, when you really boil down to a conceptual understanding of what's happening, a lot of people are missing that because they're learning about it not through the eyes of a culture that actually went through it, but they're learning about it through the lens of a culture that put another culture through it. And the role of that culture is going to be to soften that blow as much as possible. So that's why you have books like all these slave narratives that go into great detail about the strength of the slave and the intelligence of the slave and the purity and the all of these components where you could look at slavery and say, wow, my people went through that. I'm really proud of us. That, like, can you imagine the level of strength required to, as a culture, to make it through that and still be here and still be doing well? I look at slavery as a mark of strength. But it took me going back and reevaluating slavery from the lens of a person that actually went through it. And it took me to not look at it from the standpoint of somebody that's just learning about something that happened to other people. And so that's also when we start getting stuck in this rut where we're talking about the difference between that black history is so much bigger than slavery. Well, that requires you to look at black history as a black person. If you're looking at black history as a white person, only thing you fucking know about these people is that we took them and they were slaves. You don't know any of that other shit, and you don't care to learn it. It's not important. It's not significant.
Right.
You know, that's right. Like, how many black people can fucking lay out the history of fucking China? We know they got a history.
Right.
We don't know what the fuck it is. Because it ain't important.
Right.
It's the same fucking thing with white people in black history. They know we got some kind of history, but the shit ain't important.
It ain't important to them.
So, so you're telling these motherfuckers who are basically admitting every February that your shit really ain't that important to them, you're letting them teach your kids about who they are. Congratulations. Right. You just got a black kid that looks at the world from a white lens. Of course they don't want to learn about black history. It makes their white teachers uncomfortable to teach it. It makes them uncomfortable to learn it. Like, come on now. Let's be real about this.
Hey.
Yeah.
I ain't got nothing to add to that.
in your motherfucking face.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to add to that. Hey, man, look here, man. This is the Freedom Train podcast series. This is how I get down. I mean, especially when we talking about something like this, we're going to go in there. But the purpose of this is to give context as to why Black History Month is needed and also why us as individual Black people here in America need to get off our ass and go learn some more about ourselves. Like I stated earlier, I've learned about over 300 different Black people throughout the world who've contributed significantly, and I haven't even scratched the surface. I'm still learning a whole lot more. So it's so much into Black history, and it's so needed. So we're going to continue having Black history, whether y'all like it or not. So once Light Pat said, in your face, and he said, in your motherfucking face, too. So, amen. Hey, Candy, thank you. Thank you for contributing to the conversation. You gave some great information, so appreciate you contributing to the conversation. Pat, you got any parting shots?
Yeah, I got a new slogan.
What's that?
In your motherfucking face.
Right. Candace, you got any parting shots?
I have nothing.
Okay, nah, it's cool. I don't have nothing either. Because Pat just said it all. In your motherfucking
face. In your motherfucking face.
That is funny. Oh, man. Pat, you stupid, bro.
Yeah.
So, this is the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Urban. And we want to thank Candace for joining us once again. And we are up out of here. Peace.